thinking about the depths and the places that God will go for us. I just had this image of, and it's funny because it's from a show I've watched, but that wherever your troubles are, whatever your deep place is, whatever your need is, like if you were trapped in a secret Russian underground base miles below the earth, he would go and get you. He will go there. Whatever lengths it takes, he will go there. It's not too far. It's not too ugly. It's, you know, he doesn't care. He will go for you. He has a great escape plan, and he wants to get you out. Yeah.
I was just thinking about this bridge, and you know, these words are timeless. The words that magnify and glorify our God, they'll never stop coming from our mouths for all eternity. And I just want to encourage you today, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, sing these words and just watch what happens. Watch the doors that open for you as you magnify his name. Watch the walls that come down as you praise and worship him. Let's worship our God this morning. Sing glory and praise.
You know, I was singing Worthy is the Lamb. I was just kind of going with it and talking to God about it. And I felt like, I don't know if you've ever asked this question to yourself or somebody else did, but say you leave this life and you're standing before God, and somebody says, God says, why should I let you into heaven? It's like I was sitting there and I was like, I feel like I'm here in that moment, and I just feel like as I was standing there before the Lord, I was saying, Father, I believe you sent your son for me. And almost like I was hearing the words that John the Baptist said when he first saw me, he goes, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. Father, I would prefer you just look at him. Behold him. Behold the Lamb that was slain. I'm part of the world. Would you look at him? And in that, it was just freeing. And I feel like he goes, awesome. I did not send my son into the world to condemn the world, but through him that you would be saved. Go ahead. Come on in, son. Just that was just so freeing. And when I sing worthy as the Lamb, I'm going, yeah, he gave it all. He sat there and everything I deserved, he goes, I'm in. I want to pay the price. And so I just look to him, and from my heart, I just go, thank you, because I know I needed a helping hand. I needed something I could not. There was only one who could, and he did. And I'm so thankful. Father, I just thank you, that you gave it all. That line in that song says, you would do anything to prove that you are for me. Help me to believe that more and more and more in every walk of life and every aspect of my life, that you are for me. That I can turn to you, that you who did not withhold your own son but gave him up for me with grace would also graciously help me with all things. You didn't start this thing to leave me hanging and put it on me. That what was begun in the spirit, that I would not feel the need to take it on and try to finish it in the flesh. So I just thank you, God. I thank you for freedom. I thank you that more and more we're going to walk in that, knowing you in an intimate relationship and how much you care and how much you're empowering us to walk and live the life that we've always wanted to. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you grab a seat?
So a while back, I don't know if some of you, we're probably here on that particular day. We did a message, might have been in connection with a baby child dedication. I'm not sure. But anyway, we did a message on parenting. Do you remember that? We really focused in on parenting for that particular morning. And the gist of it was really all about taking our cues from God in parenting. In other words, we are to parent our kids as the Heavenly Father parents us, right? Like kind of get a read on how he fathers us, and then we take our cues from that, from him, and then we go ahead and, you know, pass that along to our kids, right? Well, we've been doing a series on healing, which is a huge subject, by the way. We started off with mainly talking about physical healing and God's will for us to be physically healthy. We spent a bit of time there, but then we also really felt strong in our hearts that it was right and God wanted us to kind of launch out into the realm of emotional health and emotional healing. So lately, that's what we've been talking about, focusing on emotional health and healing. And, you know, I believe in the same way that we looked as parents to God to take our cues in that, I believe it can work the same with our emotional health. We can look to God as our model for what healthy emotions are supposed to look like. Now, some of you might think that's a bit odd, you know, thinking about looking to God for our cues regarding our emotions. I mean, after all, he's God and I'm me, and, you know, how can we relate? You know, as a matter of fact, sometimes I think we may have a image or a concept of God as this old man sitting on this throne in heaven, right? The old man with a stern look on his face, right? With the long white beard, right? Super cold, super stoic, maybe, if anything, a little bit harsh. But if he displays any emotion at all, it's probably anger at me because I screwed up again, right? You know, sometimes, you know, we have that concept in our mind about him. But, you know, the Bible, among other things, you could say it's a revelation of God's nature, his character, his personality, what he's truly like. That's a main reason God gave us the written word of God, is to express to us, he wants us to know him for who he truly is, okay? And you know what? It's full of descriptions about an emotional God, not a cold God, not a emotionless God, but all through the scripture, it paints God, it expresses him as an emotional being. So you can go through the Bible, and I really didn't feel it on my heart to take time to walk you guys through that. You can kind of search that out, Google it, whatever you want to do. But all through the Bible, I mean, I came up with these, and I'm sure there are more. All of these emotions in the Bible are attributed to God at certain points. Love, anger, compassion, hate. How about that? Sadness, sorrow, grief, joy. Yeah, God laughs. Did you know that? He actually laughs. The Bible says so. Pleasure, jealousy, peace. And again, I'm sure this is not a complete list, but just to give you an idea, all of these varied emotions are attributed to God in the Bible. They're revelations of who God is and what he's actually like. And then we have a look at Jesus, who we believe was God in the flesh. As he walked the earth about 33 years, he displayed a wide range of emotion that was really plain for all to see. And a little extra credit for you guys who like to, you know, score extra. Read through the Gospels. Or just take one Gospel if you want. But read through the Gospels, specifically looking for emotions that were expressed in Jesus' life. And I think that would really be eye-opening, and I think you'd learn something from that about the person of God and his personality and his nature and his emotions that are part of him. All right, so evidently God does, if we believe the Bible, God does have emotions, but what does that have to do with me? It's a good question. Let's look at our opening scripture in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26, and it says this. Now, this is the very first book of the Bible, and God has been in the process of creating everything that is, right? And he creates the earth, and he creates, you know, the animals, and he sets everything up, and then he did all that for the pièce de résistance. The ultimate, the crown of creation, the whole reason he made all that stuff is for man. And then we see him making man. And here's what God says in Genesis 1:26. Look it carefully. It says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." All right, that's significant there. It's not just, okay, let's just make another creature and stick them here on the earth and see what happens. No, God was super intentional when it came to his making man and exactly how he made man. Let me just say, we are created in his likeness and image. The Bible says that if we're believers in Jesus, then you know what? We're actually his children. We're the children of God. And God becomes our father. So it's like father, like son, right? A chip off the old block, so to speak, right? So the point is, I believe we're the closest creation. Here's another way to look at it. The closest creation to God in existence. Some might say, yeah, well, what about the angels? Well, okay. But you know, I truly believe in how the Bible reveals God's intent for man, and then it goes through the whole scripture. There's something there in God's heart for man that I believe he created us to be the closest creation possible to him. And because of that, we share a lot in common with him, emotions included, all right? I think one way to describe God's will for us, what God wants for our lives, is that he wants us to live our lives in agreement with him. All right? He's our creator. We're the creation. But in that plan, there's something in the heart of God. He desires, his strong desire for us is that we live in agreement with him. And I believe part of that design is even for our emotions. Remember, God is emotional. We're made in his likeness and image. And part of God's design is that our emotions are to be, you could say, in sync, synced up with his. All right? But thinking about that, you go, man, oh, that's a stretch. Because you know what? If we believe God is perfect, guess what that means? His emotions are perfect, right? And his emotions, whatever emotion at the moment is expressed, whether it's anger or sadness or joy or whatever, whatever God is expressing at the moment is always right. It's perfect. But guess what? Mine are definitely not. Anybody else like me? You know, our emotions can be all over the map, right? Sometimes we express our emotions and it's right, and there seems to be something pure about that emotional display. But man, other times we are just off and it's just not appropriate. And then we end up having to, after the fact, you know, we're like having to deal with a mess that we made because of our emotional outburst that was far from perfect, right? So I want to comfort you this morning to let you know God knows this about us, all right? He knows that we are very much like him, but he knows that we are not him, and he knows that we are not perfect. And so he knows we need help from him in this emotional life if we're going to be healthy, all right? You know, the thing is, we were singing all about it this morning. You know, my heart was just resonating with it. They didn't necessarily know some of the things I was going to be talking about, but it often happens where the Spirit is directing things like that. The thing is, God never intended for us to try to live our lives apart from him. Our emotions included, all right? This morning we're talking about, you know, allowing him to draw close to us and us drawing close to him, right? And looking to him and him coming to our rescue and him, you know, being what we need at the moment. So God never intended us to live our lives apart from him. The closer that we can walk with him, the better off it is for us. And guess what? Everyone else in our life. Because you know what? The closer we walk with him, his nature, who he truly is, begins to express himself through us, and it's just a better thing all the way around, all right? So what I want us to do this morning, I really felt like this was kind of the feature deal that God dropped into my heart to talk about emotional health and healing this morning. And I was drawn to this story in Genesis chapter 4. And so let's look at this story about the first man ever born on planet Earth, all right? Now, you know, Adam was not born, right? And Eve was not born, but there was a first one born, and this is a story about him. So let's look at Genesis 4, 1 through 7. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now, I know some of you might want to really get into the nuts and bolts of this and say, well, how come God accepted Cain, accepted Abel's and rejected Cain's, and this caused a big mess? I'm really even not going to get into that this morning, all right? That's another time, to get into the whys and the what have yous of these offerings that each of these guys brought, okay? I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on something else this morning. I think the question God asked Cain is really an important one. And again, I feel like it's the feature of what God wants to speak to us this morning. God's question to Cain is very intentional, and he says, "Why are you angry? Why are you angry, Cain?" You could call it the first therapy session ever, right? Cain, have a lay down on the couch here. Let's have a little session. And God scratches his white beard that I spoke of earlier, leans back and scratches and puts the edge of his glasses in his mouth. "So, Cain, so why are you so angry about this? How long's it been?" Right? Obviously a super loaded question. How many of you know when God asks questions, it's not that he's trying to find something out? You understand that, right? Because he kind of knows. So when he's asking a question, there's something else he has in mind. And for sure, there's something going on here. It is a loaded question. God knew Cain's emotions were out of whack. They were out of sync with his. In other words, it's like God is saying, "Cain, you shouldn't be mad. Your thinking's wrong, son. You're not seeing it the way I see it. You're going a different direction than me. Cain, it doesn't have to be this way." You understand? So it's like God is insinuating, at least to a degree, we can actually control our emotions. Think about that. Our emotions don't all the time need to be controlling us. That's got to be in there somewhere, right? Or else God's question to him was totally not fair. For him to ask, "Why are you angry?" It's really inferring, Cain, you don't have to be. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be caught up in that emotion here, right? You guys pretty much understand this, Have you noticed you can actually think your way into a feeling? Think about it for a minute. You can think your way into a feeling. Replaying, you know what I'm talking about. In your mind, you're playing that video over and over and over. What that person said to you, huh? Come on. What that person did to you, or letting your mind go into what if land. What about this? What, leading you into fear, right? Just kind of churning on that and thinking on that over and over, letting your mind get caught up in that pattern. So we all know what that's like. You have thought yourself into feelings at times. Not all the time, but it's possible to do. The point is, in this interchange with God and Cain, if you change your thinking about something, you can potentially change how you feel about it. You know, here's just an example from my life. We were in Nova Scotia, many of you know, for a while. And I was pastor there. That was my role, the lead pastor, senior pastor. And so the buck stopped here, you know. And, you know, as a pastor in a small church, you're working with volunteers all the time. And thank God for you guys who serve in our church. You guys, I'm sure I don't tell you enough, but I try to continually let you know how I appreciate you. Because pastoring through the years in all kind of different situations, I have pretty much done every job that needs to happen in a church, you know? I mean, seriously. So I really have an appreciation for what needs to go on. But here I am in Nova Scotia, and we, you know, we're developing. We're a smaller church, but we're growing. And, you know, we're developing different ministries, and, you know, we got a sound system for worship like we did this morning, and we got children's church and ushers and nurses. We got, you know, volunteers. This is wonderful. Except when they don't show up, you know, or except when they're perpetually late and not on time, you know. Now, this is not a scolding session, by the way, all right? You guys are awesome. You always show up on time and are never late, right? And there are never no shows, yeah. But anyway, so here I am, and I remember one particular morning, and back then, unlike our scenario here, we got a lot of speakers, which is wonderful, I pretty much was the main speaker all the time. We had some guest speakers, and we changed it up once in a while, but I mean, I was it. So I'm responsible for messages Sunday morning. We had Sunday night service and then Wednesday, you know. So just, you know, I got that and then, you know, overseeing other things. I remember one morning that it was like, I don't know, I'm out in the lobby visiting people before service. And, you know, I'm just wondering, how come I'm not hearing any music? Normally we play music like we do here before the service. And I go and I look in the sound booth. This is 5 minutes before service is going to start. And I look and there's nobody there. And I'm like, oh, I mean, I look at my watch and I look at the sound booth and I look at my watch and I look and I'm like, something is not right here. So then I start, you know, a little panic starts setting in. You know, Buddy can relate to this, you know. He's like, what are we going to do? So anyway, I asked around a bit. Oh, yeah, they said that they weren't going to be able to make it this morning. So I'm going, sweet. So I guess I'm the sound guy this morning too, you know. So seriously, I mean, we didn't have anybody else there. So if we were going to have anything going sound wise, I was going to man the helm back there, you know. So I settled it. We had some worship help, you know. Many times I was involved with that. So anyway, this morning, for some reason, I was freed up. So I settled. Thank God I know my way around a little bit back there, you know, tweedling the knobs and everything. So I'm back there and I settle in and, you know, do this and, okay, I guess we can make this happen. And then I'm thinking about my message, you know, when it's my turn to get up there and, okay, Lord, please try to help me to shift from this thing over into this other thing, you know. So the point is, this happened not infrequently, you know, maybe not with that particular thing, but just repeatedly. And some of you would know that over a period of time, there's kind of a cumulative effect. One isolated thing, you can just, whatever, they, you know, made a mistake, you know, just kind of blow it off. But then again, and then again, and then the next week, and then the week, and then this department, and then this, and then after a while, you kind of start seething a little bit. You know, just undercover, you start feeling this thing, and it's not good, and it's anger, you know, and that was the chief emotion that I was experiencing, and it really started to trouble me, because many of you know me, I'm not an angry person, you know, generally speaking, but you know, it was like I was being metamorphosized into Angry Mike. And it was like, I didn't like Angry Mike. I like Nice Mike, you know. I'm way more comfortable with Nice Mike. And I think other people like Nice Mike better, too. And as a pastor, that just comes in handy. And so, you know, I just got to tell you, I was struggling with the emotion of anger, you know. Now, I love the folks, but what they were doing, they were killing me, man, you know. And you know what? A lot of times they didn't really realize the effect it was having. They just, oh, well, I forgot to come, and oh, well, somebody else will pick up, you know, whatever. You know, there's not, you know what I mean? They don't really understand the significance of the effect that it was having over a period of time. So anyway, I'm starting to just be mad, an angry person. And I'm having conversations with Jenny, you know, about it. And I say, honey, this is just, you know, and of course I'm rehearsing what, well, they didn't even call and they didn't show up and I had to jump in and we had to cancel nursery because we did, you know, this and that. And she's letting me vent, of course, you know, like a good wife. And so, but anyway, I'm expressing my struggle to her. And, you know, of course she didn't have the magic wand to wave, you know, the answer for me. So I just really, I thought, God, you got to help me with this. So I brought that to God, and, you know, God, now this is not just like a little one prayer. God, help me with my anger. Amen. Oh, wonderful. That's all. No, this is a process, right? I'm going to say, you know, this is over a period of time, but I'm bringing it to God is what I want you to see. I'm going to God with my struggle. I'm acknowledging I need help outside of myself because my emotion is far from perfect here, right? You know, the Bible says you can be angry and not sin. I was just angry, you know what I mean? And I think there was some sin attached to it, you know? So I'm just seething, and I'm trying to deal with this, and I'm going to God with it. And over a period of time, you know what God helped me with? God helped me to see the people different. God helped me. He gave me some insight and understanding about these situations. And without question, was it right for them not to show? Was it right for them to put the pressure? No. It wasn't right. But what was not right was how I was allowing it to affect me. So the Lord, it's a longer story than that, but the Lord helped me to understand that I could change my thinking about that, right? He helped me to change how I thought about the whole scenario. And you know what? From God, it had to be from God because it wasn't in me. From God, I just started having extra mercy for folks when stuff like that happened, you know what I mean? And I just, when the temptation to be angry came, I could actually make a choice. Nope, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. You know what? We all make, people are imperfect, me included. We all make mistakes and it does affect other people's lives. But you know what? There's really not a ton I can do about it. I can do certain things, but it's not really in my control. So God, you know what? It's yours. And just help me with this and help me to not be angry. And I'm telling you what, I receive help from God in that. Isn't that a good story? All right. Well, here's an insight that might be helpful. In the story that we read about Cain, Cain's anger, check this out. Cain's anger seemed to be triggered first by the circumstance. Okay? You know what I mean by that? Like, he somehow, it was very clear his offering was rejected, Cain's was accepted. That was the circumstance, right? So initially, Cain's anger is triggered by that circumstance. But it didn't stay there. Then, by how he thought about it. All right? So there was the initial circumstance that triggered the initial emotion. But then it continued to be triggered by how he thought about what he had experienced. And you know what? I want to share with you this morning. I really believe this can be helpful. The same thing can happen with us. There's an initial emotional response to our circumstances, right? It's almost like, now this emotional reaction, I got to tell you, sometimes you can't even really control it, right? It's like knee-jerk, right? It's like it happens, you react emotionally before you even get to think about in a calculated way. Should I display myself in such a way or not? You know, it's not even that, right? You don't have time. It's just knee-jerk, right? It's reaction more than anything, all right? A tragedy presents itself into your life. I mean, just fill in the blank, right? The loss of a job, a rejection, someone speaks hateful words or breaks a confidence or lies about us. Okay, there's the thing. There's the circumstance. There's the thing that happens that affects our lives, and there's usually an emotional knee-jerk response. But then, like Cain, after the initial response, guess what? We choose how we think about that thing going forward. It's pretty interesting. Now, of course, God knows how all this stuff works. He's the one, remember, he made us and we're created after his likeness and image. He knows us inside and out. He knows the help that we need. He knows that the closer and the deeper we grow in our relationship with him, the more we find our lives in alignment with him, and the healthier we will be. Okay? I'm talking about from our heart desiring to draw closer to God and to be synchronized with him, right? His thoughts, his ways, and even his emotions. This scripture came to mind. I feel like God wants you to receive this morning. Let these words from Jesus affect you this morning, specifically regard to your emotional life. Jesus said something very sweet here, very comforting. He says, come to me. Let's just pause right there before we read the rest of it. Isn't that wonderful? Here's an invitation from Jesus. You could say, here's an invitation from God, the one who made you, the one who loves you more than you'll ever realize, that we were singing about this morning, right? Here he is saying, I want you to come to me. Man, I'm telling you what, that pretty much encapsulates the heart of God for us. God is always saying, come to me. Come to me. God, but you don't know. Come to me. You don't understand what this person, come to me. God, I'm really struggling with, come to me. You get me? Right? That's always an open and continuing invitation from him to us. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to be close to him and have relationship with him. As we pursue that, more and more we find ourselves in alignment. Come to me, Jesus said, all you who are weary and burdened. Anybody? I won't ask for a show of hands. I really don't want to incriminate you. But, you know, we're all made of the same stuff. Come on. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Along with the invitation is the promise. You know what? I have what you need. Whatever it is you need, guess what? I have it. And you know what? Even times you think you know what you need from me, I know that's really not even what you need from me. And I will give you what you really need. Huh? That's how much he loves us, man. That's how much he knows us. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That taking my yoke, you know, it's a reference to like a team of oxen, you know, old school, you know, before the tractors and all the heavy, the farm machinery, it was oxen or other animals, and they put, if they wanted more power, they would yoke multiple animals together. They'd hook them together, and they used a yoke to do that. So Jesus is saying, you know what? Whatever's ailing you right now, come to me because I got your answer. Yoke yourself with me. And that's no yoke, by the way. Why did I have to do that? It was knee-jerk. It just had, you know, my emotions are imperfect. But seriously, so he's saying, whatever is the matter, I'm your answer. So hook up with me. Come to me. Let me be your partner in this, because I know, and I have the help to offer you what you need of. Wow, what an invitation that is, right? So if you're looking for the magic wand to wave over your emotional life, guys, you're probably not going to find it. If somebody does find it, by the way, let me know, please. All right. Through the years, man, I've had conversations with folks. My heart was breaking for them. They were so in trouble and so messed up. And I'm like, oh, I wish I had that magic wand. You know what I mean? Oh, sometimes you feel limited. You know, we are very limited without God's help for sure. But I got to say, there's no magic wand for our emotional health and our emotional life. But I do know that there are a couple specific ways that God has provided to help us. I'm not saying this is the definitive list here, but it's pretty big. I think you'll see that when it comes up. Two things. two ways that God has provided to help us. Number one, as we read the Bible, God's word, we can see what healthy emotions look like, what God says about it, and how he expresses his emotions. Again, remember back to where we started taking our cues from him? We can take our cues from him. God, what did you do in that situation? Wow, God, you were mad. You know what? What did you do? How did you express your emotion? So we have a model of what healthy emotions look like, right? And then secondly, this is wonderful, and I want to talk a little bit as we wrap this up about this. This is huge. If we are a believer in Jesus, if we have put faith in Christ, God is literally living in us. And I know those of you who believe in Jesus, can I have a hand raise on that? How many of you believe in Jesus? You know, I know all of you every moment of every day live in a conscious awareness that God is living in you all the time. So I don't even know why I'm talking about this, but maybe just a friendly reminder. No, I know, you know what? I am capable of going long periods of time forgetting that God actually lives in me. How is that possible? I mean, I believe that with all my heart, but how can, as we live our lives, how can we get into those modes and patterns that we actually, when we actually come to our senses and we look and we go, holy cow, Mike, you've been acting like God's not even with you. You've been functioning under your own steam, man. And you wonder why you've been struggling and things have been weird lately. You know, you don't have to look much beyond that. So as believers in Jesus, there's this revelation in the scripture that he is not just for us and helping us with cues and, you know, telling us he loves us, but he's from the inside. He's offering help by the Holy Spirit to give us the right emotional cues from the inside. Very cool. You know, there's a scripture, I won't take you there, but it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And it tells us that, this is my little paraphrase, Hebrews 4:15. Jesus feels what you feel. The Bible says we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I want to say to you, Jesus feels what you feel. He knows what you feel. He feels it. He's felt it. I think that's very comforting right there. But he also wants you to feel at least some of what he feels. See, that's the other side of the coin. He feels you. He wants you to feel him. And you know what? The way he made us, we are capable, at least in part, of feeling some of what God feels. Isn't that crazy? I'm telling you, we're close to God, man. We are the closest being to God in existence, and there's part of it right there. There's part of that closeness. He has allowed it, he's arranged it for us to feel some of what he feels, to feel his heart about certain things, to feel his emotions about certain things. You know, I can think of a few times in my life when I've been very aware, because I know me, and I know what's not me. You know, as well as you do too. But I've been very aware of God's emotions at times being expressed through me. I remember we had one of, back to Nova Scotia again, we had one of our leaders in our church, you know, she got married and she became pregnant and she was miscarrying. And she was, I heard about it, went up to the hospital. There she was in the emergency in the hospital. She's out on a hospital bed, you know, and before she was admitted, and they're just assessing and they're determining and things like this. And she was just, well, you can imagine. And I know some ladies in our church have experienced that terrible thing. And there she is, you know. And I come in, and there she is, and her husband is there too. And it was like I didn't even think, you know, because Mike likes to think, you know, like, what is the pastorly thing to do here, Mike? You know, what words should you say? What action should you take, you know, to be a good pastor like you want to be, you know? It wasn't even, I wasn't even thinking, Mike. I was just super, you know what I did? As soon as I walked through the door, I saw Jack, her husband, standing kind of by her head there. I went across to where she was, and just instinctively, I just reached over. I just embraced her, which, you know, I'm glad her husband was there, because that can kind of get weird, you know. You know, here's this helpless woman, you know, and I'm just like embracing her. But I'm telling you, I didn't even think. It just came from me. And then I found myself speaking some words. You know, again, I didn't have the magic wand. I didn't have the magic words to speak. But I was there, and I was just so aware that something was just coming up in me. And it was compassion, man. And it was just this something rising up and just flowing out of me toward her. And I just felt strong about what was happening. I was just like, oh my goodness, this is just so terrible. And so I'm standing there, and then next thing, I come to myself, and with my fingers, I'm stroking her temple, you know, like this, by her hair. I'm stroking. Now again, guys, that can be kind of weird, you know? Oh yes, please, if I'm in the hospital, send Pastor Buddy. I don't want Pastor Mike stroking my hair, or stroking my wife's hair. You know, send Buddy, he'll just cry, you know? So, I'm the stroking pastor, he's the crying pastor, right? So, but I'm telling you, see, this wasn't something that was thought out, or this was just coming out of me, and it just felt, it was just like, in order not to do it, I would have had to just say, I'm not doing that, you know what I mean? It was just the most natural thing in the world for me to act that way. And I know, again, especially thankfully your husband was there, he didn't think anything weird. It was just right in God's, as I did those action things, as I embraced her and I stroked her temple, her hair, you know what? There was love in the room, man. And you know what? That was God. That was how God was feeling at that moment about Pam as she was laying there. His heart was broken for her. He had compassion. You know, another times that I was really aware of emotion outside of me and who I typically am, right? My mom was the one who prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for me to be filled with the Spirit. You've heard us talk about that different times here. But anyway, so she had just recently, freshly been filled with the Spirit. She's all excited. She goes, you want to receive? And she gave me some information, some Bible stuff. I started looking into it. She goes, when you're ready, I can pray for you. I go, okay. So I, you know, it took maybe a day or so, but I said, Mom, I want to receive. Would you pray for me? She goes, yes. I'm just going to do what they did to me. Kneel down. Okay. I knelt down. She goes, they put their hand on my shoulder. I'm going to put my hand. Okay. You know, neither of us know really what we're doing at all. Right? I'm just hungry for God, and my mom's willing to be used of God. But anyway, she put her hand on me, and she led me in a simple prayer, and I said, I received the Holy Spirit. And then right after I prayed that prayer, something started happening deep within here, right here. And the best way I can describe it was this, like, joy bubbles that started going. It was like this. And I always have to do this because this is just how it felt. It was just like, it was started down in here, just like a bubble, and the bubble kind of came up. It kind of came up and went, boop, boop. And when the boop hit, you know what accompanied that? It was a joy bubble. It was a joy bubble, and it was going boop, boop, and I'd go ha ha, boop, boop, ha, boop, boop, ha. It was like. I'm thinking, and then my mind kicks in. Am I insane? You know, so there were like two mics, you know what I mean? Like what are you getting yourself into here, son, you know? And then the other mic's going, yeah, but it's good, you know? I'm feeling it, man, you know? So anyway, the point is, I learned at the moment, even though I didn't understand it, but there's a joy of the Lord. There's a joy. You know, God, one of his emotions is joy. And you know what? At times he'll let you share his joy. And I'm telling you, it's pretty cool. It's way better than my joy. I gotta tell you that, right? My joy is like, eh. Yeah. His joy is, woo-hoo-hoo! Right? It's just wonderful. One more story, and then we're gonna wrap up with an invitation for you guys to come for prayer this morning. I'm very young in the ministry, just got out of Bible school, lending my help wherever it's needed. I was connected with a guy in ministry who was put in charge of the youth ministry at this big convention. I mean, there were like thousands of people at it. And even the youth meetings, there were like probably 1,000 or more, you know. I mean, a lot of people involved in this. And so I'm kind of connected with my guy, and he delegates some of the stuff to me, you know, being in some of the services and leading some of the things and all. But I remember I was in one of these services, big youth service, and we started having prayer up front at the altar, kind of like we're going to do momentarily here. And I'm supposed to be overseeing things, you know, and, you know, making sure things are okay and, you know, flowing with the Spirit and everything. And all of a sudden I look and there's kind of a commotion over here. And I notice quickly there's a kid in a wheelchair. And then there's another guy that's making, you know, gestures. And, you know, I hear some loud words being spoken over there. And there's a few other people gathered around. And then I noticed that the guy who's kind of loud and, you know, waving his arms around, he comes around in the front and he's, Jesus, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, and he's pulling and tugging on this guy in the wheelchair, you know. And I tell you, again, this was not thinking Mike at the moment, you know. Oh, let's see, what's the best thing to do here? It was like reaction Mike, right? And I'm convinced that this was an emotion that came from God. And you know what the emotion was? It was anger. It was all of a sudden I'm like, I assess what's going on and I know the Spirit's helping me to discern what's going on here. This guy, I'm not doubting his motivation. You know, he was, you know, he believed in healing and, you know, he wanted this guy to rise and walk in Jesus' name, you know, but you know, it just wasn't happening for whatever reason at the moment. And it was just kind of clear. This guy was pulling and tugging and forcing. You stand, brother, stand. Right now, you stand. You know, he's forcing this thing. And I'm just like, I'm just like, I'm getting mad. But I was aware it wasn't Mike just, I mean, what do I got to, I don't know this guy. But it was how God felt about that. He was like, no, this is not right. You know, and I found myself again, I was over here, now I'm right here in the midst of it. And I find myself looking at the guy, probably pointing at him, probably getting a little stern, saying, you know what, stop that. You know, this, look, brother, we believe in healing. I forget everything that I said. But anyway, I was just over there and just out of my heart came this thing. It was an emotion from God and some wisdom from God. And I broke that thing up. I said, brother, you know, we love you. You know, Jesus loves you. He wants us all to be well. But you know what? It's cool. You don't have to stand up right now. You don't have to do all this stuff. This guy, you know, so I corrected the dude and I tried to speak comfort to the guy in the wheelchair, right? But just another time that I know for a fact, I know that was an emotion from God. Even, it was kind of interesting. It was like an angry thing, man. It was like, no, dope, that's not right. Don't do that, right? Oh, okay. That's all for that. All right, so here's how we're going to wrap up. I want to challenge you this morning to let God ask you the question that he asked Cain. Why are you feeling the way you are? It's a loaded question. But understand, the question from God is designed to bring you to him. Come to me. Mike, why are you feeling that way? In other words, something's out of sorts here. You're not synced up. You know what the answer? I got the answer for that. Come to me. So I challenge you to let God ask you that question this morning. You know, you might be feeling depressed, lonely, discouraged, rejected, sad, mad, like I was. You know, sometimes God might actually ask you why you aren't mad. He might ask you that. Why aren't you mad about that situation? Because now in that question, it's like God saying, you know what? I'm mad about that. How come you're not joining me? Right? Mad about what? An injustice? Innocent suffering? Satan having his way in a particular situation? Huh? God might ask you that. Why aren't you mad? It's all designed to bring us closer to him so that we can be one with him and synced up with him and agreed with him. So be open to letting God help you to see things different than the way that you've been seeing. See, like I shared my experience with you, ask God to help you to see people different than the way you presently do. Maybe even ask Him, God, how do you feel about this thing? Ever prayed that prayer? Kind of a different prayer to pray, isn't it? God, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about what that person did? How do you feel about what I did here? I think that's a legit prayer. Okay? Ask God to help you get synced up with Him. It's the path to a healthier emotional life. Drawing closer to Him. All right, I'm going to ask you guys to stand up. And, yeah, everybody can just stand, please. Probably ready to anyway, right? Been sitting there for a while. By the looks of the clock, we're close to the holy noon hour. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to give an invitation to come forward for prayer. We're going to ask our prayer team, please, to assemble themselves and be here to pray with you. If you do not feel in your heart that this is something that you want to come forward for prayer, and by the way, so the invitation is, you are wanting to open yourself to God. You're wanting to open to Him. You're wanting to let Him ask you that. Why are you feeling this? You're coming to get to Him because you know you need different from Him. Okay? So that's the invitation. But let me just say, if you're here this morning and you want prayer for something else, that's cool too. Okay? We're not going to limit just what we're talking about here this morning. So any prayer need that you have, please feel free to come. Now, if on either of those invitations you feel like, you know, hey, Mike, I'm good. You know, I think my stomach's growling. I think I'm about ready. You know, I'm good. Good service. You know, hey, enjoyed it. I'm glad I came. But, you know, I'm pretty much done. That's cool. Okay? So in just a moment, they're going to begin just worshiping here for those of us who are remaining. But I'm just going to say a prayer right now. And after my prayer, please feel free to come and don't do what Mike likes to do often is let your head win out, you know? There's two of you, you know what I mean? The angel on the one shoulder and the on the, you know what I mean? Why you need to go up there? No, don't go up there. Everybody's gonna think, you know what I mean? That little war thing going on. Look, just follow your heart this morning. Follow your heart this morning. Follow that impression. That impulse on the inside, that thing, you know you want to. You know God is drawing you and you want to respond to Him, all right? So go ahead and follow that. If that's you, and don't be talked out of it, let me pray. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. I thank you, Lord, that this morning we have been focusing on how good you are and how much you love us and what lengths you will go to rescue us and to give us the help that we need in our lives right now. So Lord, we just want to thank you, thank you, thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us this morning. And Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that all of those who have that thing in their heart to come for prayer this morning, to meet you in Jesus' name, I pray they will not be hindered. Lord, that they will be free to come to receive from you. And Lord, wonderful things will happen. As a result, whatever their prayer need is, Lord. So I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.